All right, everybody. I'm feeling it kind of like toned down here. I think Roy was saying maybe it's the men's breakfast affecting the men at this point. But hey, anybody willing to share with the whole group? Again, you have to use especially an outside voice here to just share like one thing you're thankful for in the last 24 hours. Anybody? Pushing back the darkness. That sounds great. Praise God. Men's breakfast is on. Yeah, I feel that. What, say that again? Family camping. Yes. Yeah, this is your first year, right? Awesome. All right, welcome, welcome, welcome. Let's give them a round of applause. I'm just all into applause this week. Anybody else, something that you're really thankful for? Yeah, go ahead, Emmett. Ultimate Frisbee. Ooh, that sounds fun. Anybody else? I'm looking. Oh, yes, right there. Sleep. Yes, that's good. I see you in the back row. Lifeguard team. Kate just propping her own team right there. Yes. Anybody else? Horseback riding. Yes. So much. Okay, so if you heard something that you haven't had a chance to experience, like now you know like your assignment for the next 24 hours, maybe, or something like that. So grateful to be with you all. Let's just bow in prayer. We're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer before we enter into the Word of God together. So, living God, we praise you. We have just been singing, you are holy. And so we join in with that cry that we hear about in Isaiah chapter 6, the living creatures, the angelic beings around your throne saying, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with your glory. And we're seeing part of that today, Lord. We've just shared some of it, your holy activity in our midst, the wonders of the created world, the wonders of the things you're doing in our lives, the joy of being with others. We give you thanks. We do pause, and we do give thanks, Lord. Again, just telling you that we're recognizing each and every aspect of the goodness of our lives is a gift from you, and we return thanks to you, O Creator God, O Sustainer God, O the God who is with us. And we ask that in this time again, by your Spirit's power, I simply ask you to do something that I can't do. I'm just going to admit it every single time. I can't make your word wing with power into each and every one's individual lives. Lord, you know where each of us is at, so I pray that you would just have your way. Come, Holy Spirit of God. Come, bring the word close. Come, make it personal. Come, bring healing where it's needed. Come, bring correction where it's needed. Bring conviction of sin where it's needed. Bring encouragement, Lord, where it's needed. Bring instruction and wisdom where it's needed. Just bring your power. Bring your presence. Bring your glory. And as you're doing all that, Lord, I would just be perfectly content if you'd answer this prayer for me, that I might decrease so that you would increase. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, I was sitting at men's breakfast, and I met some people who will go unnamed because one of them insulted my homeland, calling it Flatland. I grew up in Illinois, but I didn't grow up in the flat part of Illinois. I grew up in the Mississippi River Valley. There was a guy on staff or summer staff who's from Bettendorf, Iowa. I grew up across the river in Rock Island, Illinois. He was running through camp the other day. I was like, Quad Cities. He was kind of looked at me. You know, he's a high school kid. He's like, dude, I'll pray for you. But when I went to college at Wheaton College in Chicago, and I had friends from all over the U.S. and different parts of the world, and they would insult Illinois incessantly by calling it Flatland, and I would just try to defend it with all I had, but let's just be honest, even the Mississippi River Valley, it doesn't compare to like the Cascade Mountains, or my friend who grew up in the Appalachian Mountains, or another friend who grew up in the Rocky Mountains. I'm like, it's just not the same. Those peaks, if you've been to those places, you know what I'm talking about. Like, those parts of the world are astounding and breathtaking. But I want you to enter in your imagination with me to a different sort of place. It's the place of the biblical world where we're entering into around the Psalms of Ascent. I want you to imagine with me standing near the Jordan River, near the city of Jericho. I don't know if anybody's had the privilege of being there before, but when you gaze west toward the city of Jerusalem at Jericho, which is just over the Jordan River from the country of Jordan today. And you imagine the pilgrims taking the pilgrimage, some of them coming from Jericho up towards the temple in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Passover. If a crow were to fly from Jericho to Jerusalem, it's 15 miles. But if you're going to travel by foot, it's a treacherous, winding, up and down, hilly, desert-like stretch. It's the reason why there is a parable called the Good Samaritan that happens along the stretch of road to Jericho. It's treacherous. It was infested by bandits. And even though the Romans had built a road, constructed a road for travel and commerce during Jesus' time that made it more difficult, when you enter into the imagination of the Hebrew Bible back in the time of when the Psalms would be written after the exile, some of them, you would have to climb throughout your journey. The path is literally an ascent as it rises from Jericho, which is approximately 825 feet below sea level, to Jerusalem, which stands 2,500 feet above sea level. It's not huge, but you're ascending approximately 0.6 miles over the course of a 15-mile stretch. That's probably way more than that. And all through this climb, you will rarely, if ever, glimpse the city of Jerusalem. You're not going to see it till almost you're upon it. And so it's as if you're journeying by faith, right? And not by sight. And as you go along the way with the other pilgrims that you're with, traveling up for the festivals, you're singing the songs of ascent. These psalms from Psalm 120 to 134, the soundtrack, the playlist of the pilgrimage to where God dwells, even though you know God is with you, but to the place where you believe you're going to have an important spiritual encounter and celebration in the people of God. And we talked yesterday about how the fact is that we begin the journey with God right where our own two feet are. The journey with God begins at our address. And so I kind of posed the question, what's your address this week? What's the place that you're coming into? Maybe a good thing to ask is, like, what's the luggage you're carrying with you on the journey of the Psalms of Ascent? Throughout this week, we're going to be spending some time around these things, not only to talk about what was going on when the Psalms of Ascent were written in the physical geographical pilgrimage of the people of Israel, but also to get inside our own spiritual pilgrimage with God, because we know we're not the same people today that we were a year ago or 10 years ago. God has got us on a journey. And today we're going to come to one of the Psalms that I think is probably, if we're honest, the best known of all the Psalms of Ascent. We started yesterday in Psalm 120 with this psalm. I think probably people didn't know that much, mentioning Meshach and Kedar and all these people who are not at peace. And the next one is Psalm 121. After today, I'm going to leap ahead a little bit. But if you have your Bibles, I love it if you turn with me to Psalm 121. And if you don't have a Bible, you know, pull it up on the Bible app or turn to somebody next to you and that sort of thing. And I'm just going to, again, walk through just a couple verses at a time of this psalm that probably is going to ring a bell for some of us, where the psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, as the people are going to Jerusalem, part of the reason Jerusalem is where it is it's a citadel city. Certainly, if you were to go there today, it's going to be pretty hard right now to go to Jerusalem. But if you were to go there today, you would see there's city walls. But even without the city walls, it's up on a ridge, and so it becomes a very defensible city. Around Jerusalem, at least parts of it, there's a valley. It's called the Kidron Valley that runs then up another set of hills. So armies that would come to Jerusalem would come up over the ridge of a hill and find themselves having to go down a steep descent into a valley and then come back up to the city. So the city of Jerusalem was a strong place, a good place to defend if you were in the midst of trouble. But the writer of the Psalms here is reminding us that the strength doesn't come from the mountains. The strength doesn't come from the hills. As they go along their journey, though Jerusalem is a beautiful and wonderful place in the imagination of all these people, the strength is from the God of the city, not the city itself. The strength is from the God of the hills, not the hills themselves. The strength is from the God who's the maker, it says, of heaven and earth. This God is the one that the psalmist is looking to for help. And just even that last phrase is so instructive for us because we live along earth, and the psalmist is saying, yes, this is the God who's made all of earth, but also the God who is greater than the earth. Now, there's a lot of places we can look to for help. I hope you have good friends in your lives. I hope you have mentors in your lives. I hope you're part of a church family where you can turn to people for help when you go through crisis. But more than all those things, greater than all those things, is the God who has given the gift of all those things to us. That God is the one who's over everything on earth, over our lives. And the psalmist, as we're starting at our own address in Psalm 120, immediately thereafter wants to get the attention of the pilgrims, of those who are journeying with God, on God himself. Look up higher than the heights. Look up higher than the hills. Look up higher than the mountains. Look to this God. And I, as we were singing earlier, I'm kind of one of those people who stands on the end so I can just like look out over the trees. Anybody else just love to stare at the trees and the lake while we're worshiping? It's not that I'm not paying attention. If you see me zoning, it looks like I'm zoning out. Sometimes for me, I just look I look at the trees and I look at the lake. I look at the trees across the way and I just say, thank you, God, for creating this beauty and that I get to take it in. And it lifts my eyes, like the trees pointing up to the heavens, lift my eyes up to God. And so I think part of what the psalmist is trying to say is as these folks are going up this circuitous route from Jericho to Jerusalem or wherever else they're going, as they're looking up and they are not seeing Jerusalem yet, but they see the heights, look past them, the psalmist says, and get your eyes fixed on God, the God who is the help beyond all your troubles, the God who's greater than your greatest joys, the God who is the one who is endlessly powerful, that is ours through faith. This is the God that we're coming to worship. Is there any amen in the crowd today? Come on, y'all. Thank you, thank you. One psalm says, Psalm 20, verse 7, you may know it. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now, we don't have, anybody have a chariot? Anybody take a chariot here to Fort today? No. We do have horses, Katie, but what's happening here is we put our trust in a lot of different things, and so the psalmist is saying there's a lot of things you could put your trust in, but now get your eyes, your hearts fixed on God. We sang yesterday, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. That comes out of one of Paul's letters, the eyes of your heart enlightened. May God open the eyes of our hearts that we might fix them by faith on the God who is greater than all and with us. Now return with me to Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Picture the pilgrims journeying to Jerusalem. Their weary feet are walking the road ahead of them. They're camping out along the way, and sometimes they get rained on. Can I get an amen to getting rained on? No, you're like, please no. Even as their feet are slipping on the road sometimes, God is watching over them without sleeping. One of my roommates in college, two of my roommates were ROTC guys, Reserve Officer Trainer. Like, they went into the military. And one of them went to reserves, one of them went into active duty and became an Army Ranger. And he told me as he was going through his Ranger training about what they would do. They basically just march until people started collapsing. And if you didn't collapse, you made it. Like, it's okay, and then as people are, like, falling over, like, okay, you're out. Can you imagine that? Like, this is literally what's happening as the guys are marching days on end, sleep-deprived, trying to get a glimpse of sleep when they would pause for a few moments. There were times where the soldiers were just utterly exhausted in a dreamlike state, he would say. And whenever I think of this psalm and this whole thing about the foot slipping and the Lord not slumbering, even if we fall asleep, even if we find ourselves unable to keep our attention going on the way that we are walking in life, even if we are so overwhelmed, so exhausted, can I get an amen from the parents who have small children? Even if we're in stages of life where our work is pushing us to the utter extremes, or we have things that are keeping us up in the middle of the night, and we feel utterly exhausted, not just in our bodies, but in our spirits, God does not grow tired. God does not need to take a nap. God is able to be attentive and with us even when we don't have the attention that we need. The Lord is my shepherd, it says in Psalm 23:1. I shall not want. I mean, this is a pretty strong statement about who God is. There is nothing you're really going to need, the psalmist is telling us here in Psalm 121 and in Psalm 23. God gives us what we need. And then these next couple verses say this: the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. God is a God who pays attention. Our God is a God who knows us. Our God is vigilant. In case you didn't know it, our God is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year God with us. He is not the one who disappears. There may be times where we do not feel the presence of God, but it does not mean that God is not there. He is with us. And these references within these verses to the sun and the moon, which were actually references to spiritual forces. People connected the sun and the moon sometimes with spiritual forces who had control over their lives. And the psalmist is saying, there is no astrological force, there is no spiritual force that has more power over our lives than the God of the universe, who's made both heaven and earth. This is a God who is great and who is awesome. There is nothing that is more powerful than him. And the psalmist who's encouraged us to start right where we are on the journey with God, what our address is, the distress, the difficulty, the challenges. He's also saying, at the same time, look up to the God who is greater than anything and walk where you are, but also with your eyes fixed on the reality of God and get your eyes fixed on him. And then the psalmist ends this way: the Lord will keep you from all harm. The Lord will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. We are kept in the Lord. We are helped both now and for eternity by God. And if I was going to end there, that would be like a very inspiring message, I feel like it would be. But the thing is, when we live real life, there's actually some questions that start to rise up around the psalm. The Lord will keep you from all harm. And then you might be saying, but Matt, have you heard my life story? But Matt, do you know what happened to me right before I came to Fort? Matt, can I tell you about this loss in my last year? Matt, can I tell you about this thing in my family that I actually don't want to tell you about, but since you brought it up, how is God with us as a help higher than the heights when we also face troubles? And I think this is the place where it is very helpful to connect the Psalms of Ascent with the journey of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So check this out. Even as Jesus walked his earthly life, it says in Philippians chapter 2 that he stripped off his glory that he might draw near and enter in. It says that he actually took on the very nature, not only of our human nature, but he took on the very nature of a servant and went to the cross for us. Jesus entered into the darkest, deepest places, and many shouted at him as he was crucified. He saved others, but he cannot save himself. And isn't it amazing that Jesus entered into forsakenness that we might not be forsaken? Isn't it amazing that Jesus entered into suffering that we might be saved ultimately from suffering? Isn't it amazing that Jesus, in his crucifixion, that Isaiah the prophet describes it this way: by his wounds, we are healed. And isn't it interesting even to think about that Jesus, as a Jewish man, would enter into the times of the festivals and himself probably sang the Psalms of Ascent, chanted the Psalms of Ascent. And as he did it, one scholar says this about the Psalms of Ascent, that as he is speaking these words, that Jesus, as a man on earth and fully God at the same time, speaking and singing the Psalms of Ascent, that he is actually saying over humanity, "Father, these are for them. Father, these are for them." And he's beginning to sing and speak out these words of Psalm 121. And because of his life and because of his death and because of his wounds, now these things are absolutely true for us. And there is nothing that the devil can throw at us that will ultimately vanquish us because Jesus is a redeemer. Friends, we will go through suffering. I am not going to ever simplify that. I've walked through my own levels of suffering. Friends, we are going to carry deep wounds in our lives. I'm never going to minimize that because I have my own wounds that I carry. But I want to just testify to the fact that even in the middle of those things, Jesus is a Savior who enters into those things with us. And because he came near and because he went to the cross and because he rose again and because he's ascended at the Father's right hand, he is speaking into the Father's ear as we walk through our lives. This one is mine. This one is mine. I died, Father, for this one. I have wrapped my blood over them. I have covered them. They are not alone. I am their Emmanuel. And that's part of what's going on, I think, in Psalm 121 for us, is the invitation to enter in a deep and profound way to the life where we live through faith in Christ, not just trying to make it on our own, but leaning on the sufficiency of Jesus to be with us in suffering so that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we do not have to fear any evil because God is with us through Jesus Christ. Even our greatest enemy, death, is not the ultimate enemy for us. When we have faith in Christ, Jesus, he holds us in his hands and brings us into the Father's presence even after the last earthly breath we will breathe. Friends, it drains the fear out when Jesus has walked into the deepest darkness ahead of us and come out the other side. This is the power of the gospel. Even here in Psalm 121, when we read it through the lens of Jesus taking these words in his mouth, bringing them into his life and in his resurrection, it transforms the way that we walk through dark and suffering times. We can start where we are, but also fix our eyes on the God who is with us. It is such good news. I'd like to encourage us to let Psalm 121 lead us into a different way of praying. A different way of praying that is a prayer that rests in the love of Christ, walks in the hope of Christ, and is sustained by faith in Christ. A lot of times when we pray, we just sort of like throw words out there, or I had a friend in college. We were eating lunch one time, and we were talking. I don't know how we got talking about prayer. My friend Kevin said, when we were talking about what prayer is, and he said, "I tell God what to do." And we all like backed away from the table and looked up. We're like, "Is the lightning going to come right now, God?" We ended up figuring out what Kevin was trying to say, even though we were worried he was going to be struck dead by God on the site. But I think actually part of what happens in prayer is we're either sometimes like saying, God, you've got to do this, or we use words, but actually we don't actually believe God's going to do anything. I don't know if you've ever prayed in those ways. God, I need you to do this, I need you to do this, I need you to do this, and God's like constantly redirecting you. And you're like, no, forget that, God, I want this. Kind of like me telling God, no, I'm not going to do this music thing at the end, we'll get there in a minute. And then this other side where you're praying, but it's like as if you're just going through rote routine and there's no like heart connection. Psalm 121 invites us into a different place where we can rest in, first of all, the love of Christ. Friends, when we come to the Father in prayer, we can just rest in the love that Jesus has for us. It says in Ephesians chapter 3, sorry, Paul is praying. He says, I want you to understand the height and the width and the depth and the length of the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And he says, I want you to be rooted and established in that love. Friends, our relationship with God through Christ, when we even think about Psalm 21, taking this journey and looking to God and his protection and his walking with us, it tells us that not only is there a God that exists who's out there, but there's a God who actually in love is with us. And I don't know where you're at today, but I think the most important thing we could ever learn in our lives that starts our journey with God is that there's a God who exists, but actually who deeply, deeply loves us more than we would ever understand. And our life of prayer, our life of connection with God, it just rests in that place. We don't have to do something to earn the love of God. It's better than any parent's love. It's better than any friend's love. It's just the love that we rest in. And the life of prayer is also built out of this hope. This hope that comes from Christ, who has drawn near to us and has a future for us. I think last night at Cowboy Truth was where he referenced Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you is faithful to bring it to completion. And living in that love of God, we can also rest in the hope that God is doing something in us, even if we don't always understand it. The life of prayer is infused with hope. And even if we don't know what to pray for, sometimes my best prayer, I think, is, God, I have no idea what's going on here. Would you help me and do what you need to do? And kind of just bring me along in it. Help me, Lord. Give me the hope that you are doing something beyond my vision. There's an end toward which we are moving in our life. It's the eternal kingdom. It's the heavenly home. And it's also to look more like Jesus and resting in the love of Christ. And with the hope that God has something for us, we can take each step and live our life of prayer. And then lastly, we live out of faith in Christ. I don't know where everybody's at here. I'm just going to be real. If you are not a follower of Jesus, oh, I'd just love to tell you more about the love of God that is for you. The future that God has for you. And the access point to that is faith. That's a Bible word that just means, I believe Jesus is the Savior for me. I believe that God has done something for me, and I'd love to invite people into that. I know that the staff would love to pray with you if you have questions about what faith in Christ is about for that first step. But faith is not something that we just have for the first step. It's something we need every day. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're with me. Jesus, you're at work. That is the faith that fuels our journey step by step, that enables us to come back and say these words, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. The Lord will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Friends, may we turn our eyes to the Lord from wherever we are right now and walk with him in that place. May we ascend day by day with our eyes on the Lord and living the life of prayer with love and hope and in faith. Amen? So you all know that I am obedient to the Lord in this. I'm just going to sing a song at the end of every day. Sometimes there are songs that are connected directly with a psalm. I think tomorrow's will be right out of a psalm. Is it raining? No, that was just me. Okay, something fell on my head. And this is a song that is not directly connected to Psalm 21. Yeah, the Spirit of God falling, amen. This is a song called Always With Me. It is by a group, a worship collective called the Porter's Gate. And it reflects on God being with us all through our lives. So I'm going to give my best shot on this one and just encourage us just to reflect with the Lord, to draw near. I think the lyrics will be up. I can make it through the day when you're with me on the way. In my heart and mind you'll stay. I can make it through the night when I'm clinging to your light. You will make the darkness bright. For you are In the calm and in the storm, when it feels I'm all alone, it's your hand I find to hold. In each hour of unrest, when it seems I've nothing left, you would speak peace in every breath. For you from my mother's womb, never hidden from your view, I was always known to you. When I fade away in death, you will catch my final breath. You will take me to my rest. For you are always, always with me. For you are always, always with me. I'm arriving, when I'm leaving, you will have me in your keeping, for you would you keep us in the awareness of who you are? Help each and every one of us to grow with you, to walk with you. I pray, Lord, that for those of us who feel like we are in a deep darkness, that you would draw us close to your light. For those of us who are filled up with joy, that it would overflow to those around us. For those of us who've lost our way, God, that you would make us aware of your hand leading us all the way, that you, our Savior, would lead us. Keep us in that sort of place, Lord, all through the day, where we know you're with us, not just here at Fort, but all of our lives. Let's just sing that one more time. For you are always with me, for you are always. Amen. Amen.